So hi, welcome to Grown Eyes Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Taylor Acorn.
And we're asking some questions today about our upcoming EP, Certified Depressant. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response to the announcement so far?
Oh my gosh, it's been crazy. I feel like, you know, I've been an artist for quite some time now, and it's taken probably about 7 or so years to be able to like fully commit to releasing another project from the first one that I had released. And it just felt like the right time. And I think I was ready for the response that people were going to have, but I didn't think that it was going to be that good of one. So it's really exciting to see that people are so excited about it. And I don't know. I'm really stoked.
Oh yeah, the response to the EP seems amazing. The response to the tour surrounding the EP seems pretty great. And you know, you can't complain about some sold out shows. And personally, yeah, very excited that there's an EP coming, because your team reached out a long, long time ago when it was singles, and I was like, mm-hmm, we have to wait for an EP. And
yeah,
honestly, at one point they said it was coming, and I thought they were lying, because it's like a year and a half later, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, when's it gonna come? When's it gonna come? I know that there's been like a lot of fans, especially too, that they'll hound me. They're like, when are you putting out an album? When are you putting out a project? And mm-hmm, yeah, it just kind of felt like the right time. And also too, just wanted to kind of make my own footprint in this genre of music, whatever genre I am, I don't really know, but it's just, I think it just needed to take some time, and I needed to figure out like 100% what I wanted to be, who I wanted to sound like, what I wanted to sound like. And yeah, it's finally the time.
Oh yeah. So, well, it rocks.
Dude, thank you.
Fucking incredible. Psycho.
Thank you.
That fucking song.
Thank you.
You're killing me. You're killing me, man. It's fucking crazy. I love it. I love it so
much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Of course. So is there any meaning behind the EP title or cover art?
So yes and yes. I had this idea, especially for the EP. I just wanted it to be just like, I wanted the photo to kind of only be me, because for one, this is like a whole new chapter of my life, and it's things that I've gone through. It's all very true stories from when I released my very first project up until now. And so I just wanted it to be that, and just kind of be like, hi, here's myself, and this is the music that I'm putting out. And when it comes to Certified Depressant, I don't know, that was kind of just a really fun I guess saying that we had coined for the one song that I'd put out that's called Certified Depressant. And I think it just kind of summed up the entire album. You know, it is so much more than just being depressed or having anxiety. It's all of the emotions that come with that. It's kind of like a roller coaster, and that's what the album or the EP kind of takes you on, I think, as far as mm-hmm, emotions go. You know, there's songs that make you happy, and there's songs that are very sad, and there's songs that touch on like really real situations that you go through in life. And so I just felt like it fit me as a person, and I think it fit the EP as a title. So
Oh yeah.
To touch on the cover, a lot of bands mm-hmm, and artists that we talk to usually when they put like their face on the cover, they're like, this mm-hmm, is the purest form of our music. This is our sound. We finally fucking got it.
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you at all with this EP?
Yeah, 1,000%. And I think that's honestly the biggest reason why I wanted to have it like that. I just, whenever I listen to the songs and whenever I, you know, can picture the songs as a whole in my head, that's mm-hmm, what I see. You know what I mean? It's me. It's the stories that I've, you know, gone through the last 7 years of my life. It's the experiences that I've had. And so I just wanted it to be very just like vulnerable. And so that's the photo we came up with.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the EP?
Oh gosh. Well, it was a very long process, as you guys can tell. but it was really awesome, because I got to write, I've been writing for a really long time with this guy, Dan Swank. And I mean, I think it's taken up until now for us to finally feel like we've connected with the music that we've been that we've been writing. I'm so sorry. I like can't speak today. I don't know if I
You're
just
good.
didn't get enough
You're
sleep or
It's early,
something.
man.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like we're finally feeling connected to what we were writing, and the songs just kind of started to click. And then I got to bring in my best friend Emma, and she's a really great songwriter. So a lot of the songs are just written the three of us, or just Dan and I, and very much about experiences that I was going through, kind of as I was going through them. One funny one, we got back from our Somerset tour, and my van had gone through all of these trials and tribulations, I guess is what it would be. But needless to say, it's still in Michigan. Have not gotten it back. It
Still.
broke down like three times, and we wrote the song Everything Sucks about that. I came home and I was just frustrated. My car, literally, my tire blew as soon as I got home because it's been sitting for like a month and a half. And there's just so many things that had happened leading up until that point, and we just got home and we wrote Everything Sucks. So it's just things like that. I guess they just kind of came as the situations happened. And I don't know, it was just a really organic writing process, and it was really fun too because I got to do it with my best friend. So
Oh yeah. And
yeah.
when you go into these writing sessions, like is it just kind of like clean slate and see what happens for the day, or do you like come in with ideas, or does Dan come in, Emma? Like, are there ideas brought to the table, or is everything happen in that room?
I mean, it kind of depends on how we're feeling that day, I guess. I think a lot of it, being on the road and having the time to kind of think about the ideas and think about the things that I had gone through. We'd come in with different ideas, or maybe a melody or something that one of us had kind of been tinkering with. But I'm trying to think. I know Good Enough was definitely an idea that we'd come in with, and my friend Emma, she's so great when it comes to like lyrics and coming up with just titles. And so she would, bring in a title, and I'd be like, oh my God, I have a situation that I went through that is exactly like the title that you're wanting to write. So it would just kind of happen that way. It was just I don't know. It was very off the cuff sometimes, but planned out in others. And so it's really fun, easy way to write. So,
Oh, yeah. All right.
sure. Yeah.
And when you do go into that and you see the title and you're like, oh, this reminds me of something that I went through, is it usually kind of like a present, very recent, fresh situation, or do you usually tend to kind of go back into your past, I guess?
I mean, there are definitely a lot of situations where I'll go back and dive into my past, which is I feel like, something that I like to do just in the sense of healing and, just to have some fun, quirky things to write about. I feel like my life, as a lot of people, I've had a very crazy life, and so it is fun to tap into that every once in a while. But as of recent, I feel like I've been writing a lot about just what happens from a day to day. You know what I mean? I like falling in love and doing all of that stuff, and I feel like that's all pretty new territory for me to write about too. I feel like I don't write a lot of love songs. I don't write about that feeling a lot. So I would say the newer stuff is definitely just like a mix of everything, and more so probably just like new emotions and feelings that I've gone through. So
Oh yeah.
yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So what song off this EP took longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
Oh my gosh. The one that took the longest to write. Oh my gosh. I like can't even think. I feel like they all came like pretty quickly.
Good.
But the one that I think we dove back into a little bit was Famous Last Words. There were just, some things after we got it the first day, we were so stoked about it. It's just one of those songs. It's super fun, and I think it relates to a lot of just like girls and what they go through as they grow up, and falling in love for the first time, and having sex for the first time, and doing things like that. And so that was just a really special song for me because, again, that was something I don't think I've ever really touched on in any of the songs that I've written about. And so honestly, that one might be one of my favorites too. I think we took a lot of time with it. It was just a really fun experience too, to be able to write it with my best friends. And yeah, I don't know. I think I really love that song, and then Good Enough, I think, just because it's a very personal one for me. And every time I hear it, it feels just nostalgic. And I mean, I cry every time, so I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it's, I really love that song too. All right.
Absolutely. And just to touch on the track list a little bit, is this kind of a concept record, kind of storytelling a little bit? Because Famous Last Words and Psycho immediately, like, next to each other, it feels like a situation that's kind of unraveling. So is it a story?
Yeah, I'm glad that you picked that up. It definitely took a lot of careful planning in order to figure out how we wanted these songs to kind of lay. And that's funny. Yeah, that was very deliberate, putting Psycho and Famous Last Words, because it's just the feelings of, again, like, you're dealing with these things for the first time. It's like you're seeing all of your friends getting married, and then inevitably sometimes you end up going to the asshole next door or whatever, So it's just things like that. And it was, well, I'll be honest, we had written an entire album leading up to this, and that's kind of how we had planned it all out. And then it was a last minute decision, just kind of be like, I think these need to live as an EP and then start fresh for the next one. But yeah, I don't know. It was very careful planning, a lot of storytelling, and just the emotions that I had gone through throughout each song. And I hope that the listeners listening can hear that and kind of feel that too. So,
Absolutely.
For this question, I want you to pick your favorite lyric or moment off the EP and tell us the meaning
Gosh.
behind it. Not to put you on the
Oh,
spot.
goodness. All right. Well, I'm gonna go back to Good Enough, because that song, I don't know, it lives with me in such a different way than the other ones do. And I don't know if it's just because it's a little newer or what, or feels just, I don't know. That song, it really, really gets to me. And I think the lyric, "My reflection's my worst critic," is something that I think a lot of people can relate to, and it's something that I relate heavily to. I am for sure my worst critic. I like to pick apart myself and how I look, and obviously being an influencer or an artist, it's really easy to find yourself comparing yourself to other artists or other people's careers. And so I think that's something that I really like to think about and remember. And it's also, to me, I feel like such a strong lyric. And especially that song, just in general, I feel like it just has a really good meaning. And I think, again, it's going to relate to a lot of people. So I really love that one for sure. Good one.
I'm glad you brought up like the artist influencer combo, because I always like to ask when we have artists on here that gained a following from TikTok, like how do you kind of balance that, got to be an influencer but also got to write songs, like how do you balance the two?
It's funny you ask that, because I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't really consider myself an influencer by any means. I just one day was like, I'm gonna start posting covers of these songs, and it just kind of happened that way, I guess. But I've always thought of myself as an artist and a songwriter first. And so the videos that I post, it's just kind of just having fun with it, just trying to make the best of social media. And I've just been really fortunate in the sense that, like, people have liked what they've been watching, which is really weird for me, because I think I'm just like an awkward, like, hi, here I am, this is me. And I think starting TikTok too, there was always like that idea that no one's gonna care, like no one's gonna like what you have to say or your personality. And so I don't know, I just try not to think about it in that way, and it's more or less like a tool, and it's where I can connect with fans, and it's just another asset rather than like me being an actual influencer. So I think that makes it a little bit easier. And it was really like the only tool we had for a while. So I just, I used it to connect with fans and to make friends and to build a community of people that have already been there, but also just like a new community as well. So I don't know. Try to think of it that way instead of like, oh, I have to post this for a brand deal or whatever, which I don't ever really do those anyways, but
Fair enough.
it's just a fun thing and just a way to connect with people, you know.
And you kind of started that side of things with the covers, correct? The acoustic covers. Did you find any sort of like struggle in like converting those people to fans of your music?
I don't want to say no because I feel like that's such a lame answer, but I feel like I was really fortunate in that sense where I think I tried to do it in a way where I was like, hey, I do these covers, but also I make music as well. So it wasn't ever like a I only do covers and now here's my music. You know,
Okay.
I tried to like throw my own original stuff in there too. And I was very thankful in the sense that like people were connecting with that also. And so I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that will see me and they're like, oh, there's that girl who does the emo covers on TikTok. But there's a lot of people that will recognize me and be like, oh my God, I love your music and not just I love your covers. So very fortunate in that sense that I was able to find like a little happy medium between the two and mix it up and not just be a TikTok girl because I don't really consider myself that, but I think there probably are people out there that do.
That's fair enough. That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
really was. It was awesome. And even, you know, the love that people would give for the covers. I mean, making those was so fun. And but I just kind of got to a point where I was like, you know, I want to focus on my own music too and being an artist, and I don't want to get caught up in the cover world of it. And so being able to have like a pretty seamless transition into that, I'm really thankful for.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this EP?
Oh my gosh, all over the place. I, you know, obviously I'm very careful about how I create music, and I care a lot about what the listener thinks, and but I also care a lot about like where my like mental health is at as well. And so that's why I really wanted to do all of this in a place where my mental health was really good. I will say like the last few months that we've been writing these songs and I felt really good. And so I try to make sure that I'm in a positive headspace, that when I do tap back into like the really hard things that I've gone through, that I'm not, you know, falling back into that. And you know, I just want to be creative as possible too, and just have fun with it. And like, there's no boundaries as far as like the production or what we talk about. And I think that's why I love making this music so much more, because there are no boundaries. Like when I was a country artist, I felt like there had to be a certain pattern and a certain rhyme or reason why you're writing these songs. And so just going in with a positive headspace and just, you know, having fun with it and just, you know, thinking of these situations that I've gone through is more of a healing than it is tapping back into those negative emotions. And yeah, so I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but I mean, that's kind of how I do it. I just try to have fun with it.
And a great answer, and I also think it's the interesting answer because I feel like there are a lot of artists that tap into those negative emotions but have to feel them as well, whereas you know, use it as like a healing. And that side of like the writing where it's like you're in a positive headspace is always like interesting to me in a sense because we get so many answers of like I was feeling like shit or I dug up these bad things to feel like shit to write the best music, you know?
Well, yeah, and I feel like I've my mental health journey has been a very interesting one. It's been something that I've been dealing with for a really long time. And so for me, it's definitely not like, I mean, I could tap back into them, but I could be like that tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like I could feel those same emotions tomorrow or the next day, or feel, you know, one way one day and then another way the following week. So it's one of those things where it's just like I just try to do it as it comes and like try to just stay positive and not let those things get to me, because again, it's like it's something that I do struggle with on a daily. And I don't know if I'm just used to it now or what, but definitely going into the writer's room, I'm trying to be a positive person and just try to make music that people will be able to relate to and people will like. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
So how do you recommend your fans to listen to CP for the first time? Should I do in the car with friends, in the dark with headphones on? Is it workout EP, party EP? What do you personally recommend?
That's a tough one. I mean, definitely listen to it. I mean, it's hard because I feel like a lot of the songs are upbeat, even though they talk about such like heavy subjects. I would say like listen to it from front to back. Don't just pick and choose. I know that there's probably going to be songs that people like want to, they'll see like, oh, this is a new song. I want to listen to this. Well, I would say try to listen to it from beginning to end and just like feel the whole story, understand the whole story. And hopefully throughout that, there's maybe something that can allow either people to heal or people to, you know, if they've experienced that same thing, to be able to connect with and just give it a chance, you know, instead of just going and being like, oh, this one's new. This one seems like a fun one to listen to or whatever. And definitely listen to it with friends. I think it would be really fun in the car, especially if you're on like a long like road trip or something. I think it could definitely make for a fun road trip. But yeah, I don't know. I always listen to it when I'm in the car alone and I can really just like feel everything and hear all the lyrics. But again, how I listen to it is not how someone else is gonna listen to it. So I just say, listen to it from the beginning to end and hopefully you like it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
So this one should be super, super quick. Off top of your head, I want you to describe this EP for new listeners in three words, no more, no less.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Emotional.
Okay.
Energetic.
Okay, that's true.
And then feisty.
Feisty. Damn. Yeah.
Feisty. I'm gonna say there's a couple feisty ones in there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking right on the nose.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have going through the EP?
Oh, I mean, I want them to feel what they feel. You know what I mean? I feel like there's so many different emotions that have gone into this EP and into the writing of this EP. And so if they hear, for instance, if they listen to I Think I'm in Love, obviously I want them to feel like maybe they're falling in love for the first time and they're happy and excited and there's that like nervousness about it. But then you're listening to a song like Good Enough, and I don't necessarily want people to feel sad, but I want them to feel like more or less empowered to be able to like take that negative energy and turn it into something positive. And so whatever that emotion is, I want them to be able to feel that. And again, I mean, I don't want to say this. This EP is definitely like my ADHD coming out in live form. You know, there's so many different emotions, and it's going to be a roller coaster, and it's probably going to be overwhelming to some people. But again, there's probably going to be hopefully people that relate to that and the erraticness of it and the excitement of it. And I don't know. I want people to be able to just feel what they feel. And now they know what I feel about it when I listen to it. So,
Definitely.
yeah,
Hell
for
yeah.
sure.
So, are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this EP, positive or negative?
I mean, obviously, there's always that like initial thought that will people like this? And that's the biggest thing. And me, I am just like, I don't want to say I'm a chronic people pleaser, but I am to my core. And that's always the thing that I think of first. Like, what will people think of this? What will they say? Will they love it? Will they hate it? And so, for me, I try to like go into it with an open mind and just try to write from my own experiences and just be able to be like, hey, like, I can't really care about that, but I do at the same time. Does that make sense? Like, just trying to write things that make people feel and at the same time just do it because it's something that I love to do at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for this question, why don't you picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack
Oh
of
gosh.
choice?
My snack of choice. Oh my gosh. Definitely Nerds gummies, the
Ooh.
clusters.
Yeah.
Those are I think the best candy there that's ever been made, I'll be
Really?
honest. I do. Have you ever had them?
No, they've been mentioned like
Oh
a
my gosh.
hundred times when people answer this question, and I'm always like, wow, that sounds great, but I just can't find them. They're like
Because you're
at
in
the front of my
Virginia.
fucking
They're
store.
okay. You're in Virginia?
I'm in Virginia, yeah.
Where in Virginia?
I'm in God, I don't know if I'm like 30 minutes away from Virginia Beach. I'm in
Okay.
Suffolk. It's a
Oh,
big
I know
city,
exactly where you are. Yeah. My aunt
yeah.
lives in Zunai. Do you know where that
Oh shit.
is?
I don't know where that
Yeah.
is.
It's like probably 30 minutes or so from there.
Oh
But
shit.
my sister was in Richmond for a while and I lived in Lynchburg
Oh
for a few
shit.
years. Yeah, so
Yeah,
I
Lynchburg
know
is like
Virginia.
a ways away, but yeah, I've passed through it, I'm pretty sure, a couple
Up in the
times.
mountains.
Looks
Yeah.
like my
Yeah.
Virginia hate's not going to work on
Yeah,
this
no, no word. Yeah, you better watch your tongue, no, I'm just kidding.
Virginia is a beautiful state. You have
Yes.
to admit. Blue Ridge
It is.
Mountains,
Yeah,
beautiful.
there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, you got the ocean, you've got the mountains. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna like sit here so quiet.
Exactly. We got your ass, man. Don't deny it. So on the topic of food, if your music project was a dish, what dish would it be and why?
Oh my Lord. Probably don't want to say it'd be like one specific dish. I think it'd be like a buffet.
Oh,
Like
okay.
a mix of just a bunch of things. You know what I mean? If you want to feel good, you eat the mashed potatoes. You know what I mean? You want to have, oh my gosh, I can't, now I'm like blanking on like what food is even in a buffet. But yeah, I don't
Everything.
know, everything. It's a mix of everything. So I don't know. I think it would be something like that. You get a little bit of everything.
Right. And for
Yeah.
the last couple of questions, going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
Oh my gosh. This is so hard. I love food so much, so it's like
Us too.
really hard to choose. You know what? I'll probably have a roast beef sub from Jersey Mike's. Mike's Way with hot peppers and a lemonade.
Nice.
Ooh,
Yeah.
solid. Solid.
Yep.
So
That's
if you
the food of choice. Go
Dude,
ahead.
it sounds I've never okay, this is gonna be awful. This is Shane, you're gonna hate me for this. Every time I haven't been to Jersey Mike's in like 2 years, but like when I used to go, my go-to would be the tuna fish sandwich. And looking back, I don't know what the fuck I was on because it's a
I
fucking
mean,
sub place, right? Why are you getting a fucking
yeah.
tuna fish sandwich,
But
man?
listen, my boyfriend gets that literally everywhere. Like he'll, if we go to like Subway, he gets tuna fish. I'm like, I don't think I've ever met anybody that will go out to a sub place and get tuna
Tuna.
willingly.
Yeah, there's
But
so many
he
other
does.
options.
So I understand where you're coming from, but it is a little weird. Won't lie.
I can't even hate on you, Glory, because I walk into Jersey Mike's and I tell them no meat, no cheese, just vegetables. My little vegan ass walking into Jersey
Aw.
Mike's. It's
But I
fucking
bet you a veggie sub Mike's Way, though, is probably so good. With all
It's
like the
pretty banging.
vinaigrettes and
Yeah.
whatnot. Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure.
Look at just a fucking fancy salad, but it tastes good as hell.
Yeah. And the one down the road from my house, they got it all set up in the computer, the no meat button. I get it nice and cheap.
They
Yeah,
know. They know when you're
they know
coming
me.
in.
I've been there
They
for a
said, we
while.
already got your order, buddy. Yep. Hell yeah. If you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live? My gosh. Probably Bikini Bottom.
Oh.
I think that would be so fun. I feel like there would always be something going on. I'd live like Sandy, you know, in like the little dome and do that. Either that or like Harry Potter, like doing like the Harry Potter stuff would be really fun. Going to Hogwarts and being a wizard. I think that would
Absolutely.
be pretty cool. One of the
Do you know
two.
what
Very
house you are?
different. I'm Gryffindor.
Gryffindor. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I don't really know if that's what I am. I just know when I was on tour with Grayscale, they had their whole like bus was set up like Hogwarts, like Harry Potter themed. And they
No.
had like the sorting hat and everything. And Andrew, their guitarist, would dress up like Dumbledore every night and like he would sort people. So
This sounds like a fever dream.
Just from what I mean, honestly, kind of is looking back. I mean, but it was so fun because I'm such a huge Harry Potter fan, anyways. So I was really excited to have like the Sorting Hat tell me I was in Gryffindor. I knew it in my bones. That's what I was.
Absolutely. Fucking run with that,
Yeah.
man.
That,
Hell
that's
yeah.
better than taking the online test.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. You got the whole experience, man. You went to fucking Hogwarts.
Yeah, I probably will go online and take the test and it'll tell me something completely different, but I'm just going off what the hat says,
Yeah, just
you
stick
know?
with the hat. Stick with the
Yeah.
hat.
Yeah. So either on investing, last question, every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Yellow.
Me too. Fucking love
You like
yellow.
yellow? I love yellow. I feel
Yeah.
like it's just such a happy color. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's just,
Yeah.
every time you walk into a yellow room, I don't think you can ever be like sad.
No, that
Oh,
fucking
I
duct
love it.
tape yellow.
Oh,
Beautiful.
love it. Or I'm really into like orange right now too, like a burnt orange.
Ooh, burnt orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could rock with that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like the very warm colors I really
Yeah.
like right now.
They're good. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So as I said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
Oh my gosh. Well, again, my name is Taylor Acorn. Hi, everybody. Hello. I've got an EP coming out September 22nd. I've got tour coming up November tw 9th, I think, is when it starts. And if you're coming and you're listening to this, I cannot wait to see you. I cannot wait to meet you. It's going to be so much fun. And yeah, check out my EP September 22nd.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, thank you for now. It's been Taylor Acorn, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.